Good afternoon, everyone. This is Pastor Jim Ellsbury of Beacon of Hope Ministries, bringing you Living the Good Life. I'm setting in for Pastor Marcia today, who is ministering in Mexico. She left earlier this week. She'll be coming back later next week. But she is meeting with fellow ministers down in Mexico to expand a radio ministry down there. But I want to welcome everyone today. It's great to be with you, and I won't brag about our weather because I know some of you who might be listening from more northerly climates are probably not happy about your weather, but having lived there in the past, I fully understand. I know what it's like to be up there with all that snow, but I do want to welcome everyone. I'll be joined in just a little while by Shell Loring Gray and by Megan. Shell is down here in Tampa Bay. Megan Kramer is up in Indiana, so I will be joined by them in just a little while. But again, I want to welcome everyone. It is a great day, and we're getting close to Christmas, so that happens to be my favorite time of the year. Very happy. And I believe Shell is here. Yeah.
Hi. Yes,
hi,
I'm
Shell.
Here.
Yeah, hey, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And I just need to give a real quick shout out to Bobby, who's handling the engineer's booth for us. You know, Pastor normally does that, but Bobby's there today. Hooray.
Thank you, hello. Bobby.
Hi.
We're very glad of that. So, Shell, how about this weather? I'm only going to say this once because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to have to repeat it when Megan comes on.
I'm wearing shorts. I
me
love it.
Too. I'm sitting here in the booth wearing shorts.
Yep. No need to get the sweaters out, not this week.
Well, not this week, although I thought about it last week when it was a little chilly toward the end. But
oh, I'm loving it.
Oh, me too. And it's so wonderful. I'm just so happy that it's Christmas. You know, this is my favorite, absolute favorite time of the year. I love Christmas.
I love it, too. I think that people... you know, regardless of the fact that we know a lot of people commercialize it and stuff like that, I just noticed there's something in the air. I mean, people are nicer to each other, and mm-hmm. It's too bad it doesn't last all year round. I mean, we try.
Right, and it gives us a chance as believers to talk a little bit more about Jesus.
Yeah,
you know, I found
my
coworkers are more... open, I think, to hearing about Jesus. And that's why, you know, I think we need to really, I don't want to say keep our guard up, but we really need to be mindful of people's questions, because, you know, they might ask, well, why do you celebrate this? And, you know, we need to, as I mentioned Wednesday night at Bible study, you know, Peter tells us to be ready to give a defense of what we believe. We need to be ready to talk about that, you know, when the time comes. So, you know, that's a great thing. And besides, I love Christmas lights and Christmas trees and Charlie Brown. So I just have to say.
And you like the cookies and desserts. Too.
Oh, I don't, you know, our workplace, it just gets crazy because everybody starts bringing in cookies and candy. And then, like, I work at a not-for-profit, and we get a lot of like businesses, contributors, doctors, pharmaceuticals giving us, you know, just boxes of cookies and tins of candy. And oh, so there's no diet in my future, at least until
you got to have willpower.
Yeah, well, that goes out the door with the first whiff of chocolate. So,
yeah, I have a weakness for chocolate too.
Me too. That's the other thing I like, though. I always make sure I have peppermint mocha creamer for my coffee.
So. I was wondering if you were talking about in the workplace. I mean, it is Christmas time, and we encounter people who do question the holiday. You know, there's things circulating on Facebook. You see bumper stickers, or maybe in your organization, like in the past, I've worked in public schools, and you really have to be careful because some people want you to say happy holidays, not Merry Christmas.
As a good example, we had our client Christmas party on Friday, and it was hard, but I did say happy holidays because I have to.
You don't want to offend people. And
right, right.
The person signing your paycheck is working there, so.
Yes, exactly. So, but believe you me, outside of the workplace, I'm all about Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I think you can make an exception there.
Yeah. And I understand Megan is on the line. Megan, are you there?
Hi, Pastor Jim and Shell.
Hi, Megan.
Hey, Megan. How's the weather? I'm all going to ask once.
It stinks. That's all I'm going to say. Move on to something else.
Okay. How are the kids doing?
They're doing much better. Thank you for all the prayers. They're doing much better. That was our first round of pink eye. I've never experienced that before, and it's like, oh my, okay, let's get an eye ointment and get this out of here. Thankfully, Ben and I have evaded it so far. So praise you, Lord, knock on wood, all that.
Yeah,
I don't want that.
It can just be downright nasty. So
yeah,
I've had it, I had it when I wore contacts, which made it even worse.
Oh yuck!
So that made it even worse, and I was not at all happy about it. But
good thing is it usually clears up pretty fast.
Yeah,
it does. We're on day two of the eye ointment antibiotics, and Zoe's wasn't as bad as Andrew's. Andrew's is clearing up. It looks so much better.
Oh, that's good news. Well, praise God for that.
Absolutely.
So we're going to talk about Luke. We're going to start in Luke chapter 1. There's just, I've read it and reread it, and there is so much in there, and everybody's read it. You know, I mean, we've all read that, you know, read it before, several times, I'm sure, but there's so much in there. And I just felt like we needed to look at a few things, especially, you know, Zechariah's response to Gabriel as opposed to Mary's and just some other stuff, because it all has to do with the coming of Jesus. So I just want to take a moment before we go to our first song and just pray for just a moment. Father, we give you glory and honor and praise this day. We thank you, Lord, that we can share your word, that we can share the wonderful story about the birth of your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you sent your son to be our Savior. We thank you, Jesus, that you are our Messiah. You are Emmanuel, God with us. And we thank you. And Father, we just ask that today that your word would go forth in power, your word would go forth with an anointing, that people's lives would be changed, Father, because of your word. And we give you all glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start with the song, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. This is the version by Selah, and those of you especially here in Clearwater that come to Beacon, as soon as this song starts, you're going to understand exactly why it's my favorite version of this song. So,
Israel. that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice.
I'm just glad somebody left a little packet of Kleenexes in here, because I am like, my eyes just tear up. I love that version of that song. For me, because it roots that song in, you know, into Judaism, which is, you know, of course, what the Messiah is all about, the fulfillment of Judaism. And so that... that's why I really love that version. So, but I got my composure back. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 1. I love the way that Luke writes, because, you know, so many people criticize the Bible and saying, well, it's not historical, it's not this, it's not that. And especially Luke, who wrote, of course, the book of Luke and the book of Acts, he plants himself firmly in history. And even in the first verse here of Luke chapter 1, he says, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word." So what's Luke saying there? Did he invent this stuff? That was a question for you all, ladies.
You go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't know who was going to jump in.
Oh, okay. Well, Luke, you know, Luke is saying here, I got my information from eyewitnesses. Probably when he was, because he was with Paul when Paul was imprisoned before he went to Rome. So Luke had plenty of time to wander all about Galilee and Judea and, you know, and find out all about Jesus. And he says, "It seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out to you, write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught." I could preach on those four verses all day, just because Luke is saying there, I don't want to tell fables. And I think that's great, because sometimes I think, you know, Luke says, no exaggerations. I'm going to tell you the truth. And yep. It's human nature sometimes to want to embellish things, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we
especially a story such as this.
Right, right. We would want to add to it. And you know, I love church history and I love reading about church history. But a lot of these stories about like the martyrs and all that stuff, boy, they're full of embellishments and things that just sound like silly. And in fact, some of the writings about Jesus that did not make it into the Bible, and rightly so, were just silly. Like some of the bizarre little things, supposedly when he was a kid, when Jesus was a child, he made clay pigeons, brought them to life, then killed them, then resurrected them. Now that's just silly.
Heavens.
I know. I mean, that's in one of the not in the Bible infancy narratives. So thankfully that's not there. But Luke says, look, I'm going to give you the plain truth here. I'm going to give you the facts about what happened. And it's important to note that he wasn't writing to just anyone. Okay. When he says, most excellent Theophilus. So that the term most excellent was kind of like your highness or, my Lord Duke of Northumberland, something, you know, something along those lines. This was a person of importance. Probably
he was speaking with etiquette. I mean, that's the way that I take it. He was speaking eloquently.
Yeah. Well, and Paul used the same term for like governors. So apparently this Theophilus fellow, whoever he was somebody of importance. This wasn't just, you know, Sammy down the street. This was this was possibly a governor. One of the fictional books that I have of that time period says that, you know, is possibly wrote to the mayor of Rome, the actual mayor of the city of Rome, not the emperor, but the mayor of the city of Rome. And that's just, I think that's amazing, because here's a person of importance that's getting a gospel dedicated to them. You know, that would be so cool.
I'm glad you explained a little bit who Theophilus might be.
Yeah, yeah.
I was wondering.
Well, the name itself means the one who loves God.
Oh, okay.
Theophilus, Theo being God, Philus, like Philadelphia, so it's a God lover, basically. So it may not be his real name. It may just be, because if he is, yeah, because if he was a person of importance. Now remember, Paul's writing, or Luke's writing, probably somewhere around 60 AD, and at that point in time, of course, Nero was emperor of Rome. It was not a good time to be a Christian. So this may be a symbolic name. So, yeah. So then this is where, you know, this is kind of the meat of it. But Paul, or Luke writes, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of, the, and this is verse 5, of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Okay, so again, Luke plants this squarely in history because there was a King Herod. That is a historical fact. He ruled from about 35 BC to 4 BC. He was appointed by the Romans, but his title was King of Judea. And during that time, there was, we have a priest named Zechariah, and he's one of the priestly divisions. And David, you know, when he built up that tabernacle, and we talked about this some a little bit on Wednesday nights when Pastor was here, David divided all the priests into 24 divisions after like the great-grandchildren actually of Aaron. And so a priest would get to like serve in the temple maybe once in their lifetime. And this was Zechariah's big chance. This was his big chance. Now, picture yourselves. How would you feel? This is your one shot at being able to offer incense on the altar of incense in front of the curtain, in front of the Holy of Holies.
Wow.
I know. For me, I mean,
I would be intimidated. I would feel intimidated.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, because especially since this is still under the old covenant. I mean, he couldn't even peek. If he dared as much to try and peek behind that little veil, I mean, he'd be struck dead. That's how serious this was.
That was intense. He must have been nervous and honored, all those things at once.
I would have been very nervous. Honored, like you said, Shell, but very nervous. Ah. Now, I like verse 6 because, again, the Bible is so good about making people human. You know, even the best of people, it shows their faults. David, Peter, Paul, all of them. And here talks about Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. Now, that was a tough thing to do. You know, if you're going to, you know, keeping the law was a tough thing to do, but apparently they did it. Okay, so here, I mean, they're faithful. These are faithful people.
Did you ever hear of anyone else in the Bible? A couple? No,
yeah.
Who were able to do that, to keep the laws?
There's only, David said he did, but we know he broke it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a matter of the heart. And I think, you know, I think they had good hearts. They wanted to keep the law. The problem was they had no children. Because in verse 7, we find out Elizabeth's barren. Okay, now we all know from reading all the Bible, God has a way of fixing that. Like he did, like he did with Sarah, like he did with Samuel's mother. Okay, you know, these were barren women. And God has a way of fixing that. Praise God. Very glad he does.
Amen.
But he did here too. So now, you know, Luke has set the stage. We've got the time period. We know about when this is. We've got the first two characters. I kind of look at this as almost like a play. Okay, that's my background. Okay. But, you know, the first two characters have walked out here. And here's Zechariah and Elizabeth. And in verse 8, it says that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, for he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And everybody in verse 10, it says they're all outside praying because, again, it's like the hour of prayer, probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Anything else happen at 3 in the afternoon important? during Bible times?
Jesus.
Oh, gosh, TJ.
Yeah. You know I like to do this. Well, Jesus died on the cross at 3 o'clock. And after he was resurrected and after Pentecost, Peter and John were in the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Because that was the hour of prayer. That's when the priest would go in and offer the incense and everybody would be out there praying. And again, my point is, God didn't do this in a, you know, in a little closet. He didn't do it in where nobody would know about it. Because there was a crowd in the temple. You know, all these people were there praying because it was 3 o'clock and that was the traditional hour of prayer. So they'd be there praying. And then something wonderful happens. In verse 11, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now, I've never seen an angel. I have my own ideas what they look like. I know people that say they have seen angels, and contrary to popular belief, they're not those little fat babies with teeny tiny little wings. Angels are human in appearance, but more glorious. They glow with God's presence. That's about the only, I mean, you know, think about, and I know I'm getting a little off subject here, but the showbread that the priest had to change out every week, that sat in front of the veil, and every week it was changed, and then the high priest and his family would eat that. And that showbread sat there and absorbed the glory of God for a week. Now, that's got to be pure nutrition, okay? Okay. So the angels of God, they're in, you know, and we find out later about Gabriel. He says, I stand in the presence of God. So he's just, you know, absorbing all of God's glory, and is just radiating God's glory. And he appeared standing at the right hand of the altar of incense. And I think this is just Luke making an understatement. Zechariah was troubled when he saw the angel. Okay, I don't know about you all. I'd be flat on my face. You know, I can't imagine. You know, I'm going about my business. Let's say it's Wednesday night, you know, and we're having Bible study, and all of a sudden Gabriel pops in for a visit. I can just about imagine we'd all be flat on the floor in about 2 seconds.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the, hey, how you doing? It wouldn't be that kind of thing. It would be, oh, praise you, Jesus, I'm on the ground. I'm down on my hands and knees, and I would instantly start sobbing, just instantly.
I think I would too, Megan.
I think there'd be mixed
reactions. The presence would be overwhelming.
I think I'd believe I was hallucinating.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's like, is this real?
Well, and I think
is
that's
everybody else falling down?
I think maybe Zechariah had some of that going on too, because, you know, visions of angels weren't an everyday occurrence. I mean, it just didn't happen all the time. And here he goes, you know, it says, then fear gripped him. I'll bet it did. But the angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zechariah. I've heard your petition. So what do you think Zechariah was probably praying for?
Probably praying that he wasn't going to be killed.
Well, but I mean,
like, am I getting ready to go, or what's going on here?
Right, but kind of an ongoing prayer.
He must have asked at some point earlier in life for a child, maybe.
I think he asked a lot for a child.
Absolutely, he did.
You know,
we don't know how long he asked, because at some point he probably gave up.
Yeah, he might have. Well, and sometimes there's something really good there. Don't give up, first of all. But sometimes the answer, you have to persevere. And we don't know, because it doesn't say if he gave up or if he persevered. But remember Daniel. He started praying, and it took the angel 21 days to get to him. And so who knows how long, you know, Zechariah and Elizabeth both had been praying. But the angel said, I've heard your petition. And your wife, Elizabeth, she's going to bear you a son, and you'll give him the name John, which means God is gracious, which is a really cool name for John. Because most people look at John the Baptist as being some wild-eyed street corner preacher in camel's hair. And yet his name means grace. And that's really what he preached on. That's really what he preached on. And as you know, we know when he grew up, people responded by the thousands to John's message because he got them ready for the coming of Jesus. But the angel says, God's heard your prayer. You're going to get your son. You're going to call him John. And many, and in verse 14, you will have joy and gladness. Well, obviously, you know, they've been praying for a son and a son comes up. And many will rejoice at his birth. I like that because, you know, it was actually a shame. It was an insult to not have any kids. You know, if your wife was barren, that's almost like being cursed. And here she is, an old woman, kind of like Sarah and Abraham. And God says, nope, going to do it. We're going to give you a son. And the angel goes on to say in verse 15, he'll be great in the sight of the Lord. He'll drink no wine or liquor. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. Now, I don't think that ever happened before in the Bible with anyone. But here all of a sudden, you know, he says, first of all, he's going to be a Nazarite. You know, no grape juice, nothing of the grape. That was something, you know, under the old covenant, it was a special vow to God that you made, and you could not have anything that was a product of the grape, which I think is kind of unusual. But then,
what about beer, too?
No liquor, no nothing. Keep a clear head, John. Mm-hmm. Don't want anything messing that up. And I love this. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Wow. I mean, imagine if Zoe Grace, Megan, was filled with the Holy Spirit in your womb, hopping around inside there.
Well, hey, you know what? I believe that she was. I think that all three of my kids were because I prayed for that. And I believe it's possible.
I believe it too. And we know, obviously, it happened to John.
Right.
And all it took, well, we'll get to that a little bit later. We'll tell you what it took. For that to happen. And, you know, the angel says in verse 17, John will go as a forerunner before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That was John. That was to be John's mission, to get the people ready for the coming of the Lord. And I like what the angel says here about going in the spirit and power of Elijah. Elijah was the greatest prophet under the Old Covenant. And, you know, it was Elijah that stood against all the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel when the fire came down and consumed his offering. It was Elijah who spoke the word and there was drought for 3.5 years. And yet the angel's telling Zechariah, your son is going to come in the spirit and power of Elijah, and he's going to prepare the way for the Lord. That must have blown Zechariah's mind. I mean, it's one thing to have an angel appear to you. Secondly, it's another thing to have the angel say, okay, God's heard your prayer, he's going to give you a son. But then to make these pronouncements about his son, that must have really, I don't know, that must have really blown his mind. What stands out about that to you all? I mean, these things about John, how do you think you would have reacted if an angel told you that about the son that you were going to have?
Go ahead, Shell.
I guess it would have been all worth it, the long wait I would have been overwhelmed. It would be like a miracle. I'd feel amazement, you know, and it would almost be unbelievable. Like, I think that I would probably react much like Zachariah, with some doubt.
Which is what he did. Exactly. I mean, that's in verse 18, he says, how will I know this for certain? Okay. He asked God for a sign. He said, I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. How am I going to know this is going to happen? And, you know, even though, as we read earlier, he was righteous and he followed the law, and I believe he knew God. You know, he was a godly man. And yet, all of a sudden, here is something so outrageous, and that he has a hard time believing it. Has that ever happened? Does that happen? That happened?
It happened to me.
Okay.
With my second born child that passed away, Grayson. I'm sure that whoever has listened knows that story. I'm not going to go into detail, but you know. This story speaks in volumes of the word faith, that by faith that you have in God, that's how you know, that's how you're going to get through that waiting period.
Mm-hmm.
That's what drove me through my waiting period of what was to come, was only by faith. That's the only thing that kept me going, was my faith. And, you know, having an angel appear in front of you and tell you all of these things, it's hard for the human mind to receive it, to believe it, because without seeing it, sometimes we're like, okay, there's no way this is real. But this story is very, very true. And, you know, if I was put in that situation, I wouldn't be able to probably even speak, because I would be shaking at the presence of God, and it would just be in total awe of what Gabriel was telling me. And I mean, I've had premonitions, I've had dreams before, and I had a very powerful dream when I was pregnant with Grayson, not too long after I found out about his diagnosis. And even though it was a dream, I still woke up and I had actually seen an angel, and I couldn't figure out, you know, who it was, yada yada. But I woke up shaking, because the presence of the power of God was so strong that I literally fell out of the bed onto the floor and started praying. So, you know, even being able to fathom that power that is around this angel that, I mean, literally would drop you to your knees and make you speechless, it's really hard to fathom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Thanks for sharing that, Megan. It's a great...
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Yeah, and yet Zechariah says, I need a sign. Okay. And the angel said, here's your sign. You know, the angel said, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And behold, you're going to be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in the proper time. So, in a sense, I mean, you know, Zechariah's, I don't want to say unbelief, but his...
I say his human doubt.
Yeah, his disbelief. I don't want to say unbelief, more of a disbelief. Because he says, this, you know, how is this going to happen? And I think if he had just remembered Abraham and Sarah, you know, because they did the same exact thing. And Abraham certainly had to wait a whole lot longer than Zechariah, you know, when it comes to waiting for a son. Abraham waited 25 years. Zechariah waited 9 months, because as we'll find out shortly thereafter, Elizabeth did become pregnant. But God, there's nothing impossible with God, you know?
Well, Pastor Jim, not to interrupt you,
go ahead.
I just have this thought. is, you know, when you pray so long and so hard for something, and something such as a child, and you know that your wife is unable to have a child, it's so hard to believe that just in a snap of a finger, which is how mighty our God is, that this is prophesied, this is going to come true. It's so hard to fathom because you've hurt for so long, you've wanted this answer to prayer for so long, that even if, you know, even though Gabriel appeared in front of him, it's like, oh my gosh, are you serious? Like, are you for real? Because I've been praying for this, and I know that my wife is not able to have a child, and I'm sure in that moment that he couldn't remember what had happened with Abraham. Because, you know, you're just, your mind just probably just would shut down because you're just in such shock. But praying for so long and so hard, I know that feeling. And then all of a sudden, you know, oh my gosh, you're really going to give my wife a child. It would make you just, you can't even, you stutter like I am right now.
And I'm sure that I'm pretty sure he stuttered when he said those words. And then Gabriel said, well, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be mute. You're not going to be able to talk. And I want to kind of focus in on that, because not only could he not talk, we find out later on in Luke chapter 1, apparently he was also deaf. So he became deaf and mute for the whole period of Elizabeth's pregnancy until John was born. But right now I want to do another song, and then we're going to come right back to this afterwards. Heaven Came to Earth by the second chapter of Acts. I love that song too. And you know, when I'm on the radio, I always have to pull out something from like late 70s, early 80s. So that's the one for today.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that, CJ.
No,
nothing
there's
wrong with that. Those are beautiful songs.
I certainly are. And I have all sorts of second chapter of Acts, finally, praise God, on CD. Keith Green, you know, some of the really early stuff. I love that. So anyway, back to Luke chapter 1. So why do you think, and we did talk about this, I remember pastors talked about this at Bible study. Why? Because I think God deliberately chose this. I don't want to say, it's not exactly a punishment because of why I believe, along with pastor, why this happened to Zechariah. But why do you think he became mute and very likely deaf at the same time? What purpose might that accomplish?
Well, you know, it could accomplish a multitude of things, but to me, it's so that this is a surprise. This is something to shock and awe people that a barren woman is having a child, and that, you know, he didn't want him to be able to, you know, create a story on what Gabriel had told him, you know, by like adding things that maybe weren't said, or, you know, because, you know, the more you tell a story, sometimes the more dramatic it gets. So,
yeah.
You know, that could, yeah, you know, I'm that way. I can understand. But that to me might be why. It's because he didn't want him to be able to share what was coming, so that it would be such a magnificent surprise. Mm-hmm. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Shell, any thoughts on that?
Well, that was actually one of the questions I had when I was reading through it. You know, I wondered, was it a punishment for a lack of faith on Zachariah's part, or was it, you know, a blessing?
I think it was one of those blessings in disguise.
Yeah.
Well, it would be a blessing in disguise if it were.
Well, because Gabriel says, you didn't believe me, you didn't believe my words, you're not going to be able to speak any words. Okay?
And then he also had to have the faith that his speech would come back after the birth of his son.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I don't know that he had any guarantee. Well, Gabriel did say until it's fulfilled. So, but I think, you know, Pastor brought up a really, I don't know if this is last year, year before, but an interesting point that what came out of Zechariah's mouth was unbelief. So we're just not going to let you talk at all. And the other thing, if he was also deaf, then he couldn't hear what other people said. It put him alone with God. Okay? He still had his eyesight, so he could read. He could, you know, he could think, he could pray in his mind, but he could not. And I think it was to keep him from speaking any more words of disbelief.
Yeah.
And it kept.
Taught him a lesson.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's why it was a blessing in disguise. Because, you know, we've talked about this, you know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. What is in your heart is what you speak. And, you know, you're be judged for every idle word. And I think it, almost protecting him, you know, from saying anything that could interfere with what God wanted to do. And so here, you know, here he sits, and all of a sudden Elizabeth becomes pregnant. And she puts herself in seclusion for 5 months. I mean, she says, you know, it says down in verse 24, after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, this is the way the Lord has dealt with me in these days, when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men. Now, I don't know if it was me, not that, you know, if I was pregnant and I was in my old age, like I am, I think I'd want to be out showing off my baby bump, you know, because here it's like, wow, look, it's starting to grow. You know, I'm pregnant. I'm really pregnant. And yet Elizabeth does something odd. I don't know whether, you know, unexpected.
If you put that in the context of today, PJ, and you've got somebody who's 90 years old or whatever she was, I know that she was up there, right? And she becomes pregnant. It would be on Facebook. It would go viral, the news stations, and then you'd have people who are, you know, antichrist. So, I mean, maybe it was to keep her safe from those who thought, wow, this is odd. I mean, because if by word of mouth others found out, of course it wouldn't spread like it does so quickly today. But I mean, I'm just thinking if that something like that happened today, I think it'd be safe for her to go off on her own, you know, until the birth of the son, till it happened. But I don't know. That's just my interpretation.
No, I think that's a good. I agree. I didn't think about that. Yeah, I agree.
I don't know.
And then to have a husband that, you know, can't hear and can't talk. I mean, that even adds to an odder issue.
Well, can you imagine the Facebook post? Did you hear about Elizabeth and her husband? He says he saw an angel, and now he can't talk, and now he can't hear, and all of a sudden she turns up pregnant. You know,
yeah.
I think I hadn't thought of that.
Well, I mean, you say his speech being taken away, you look at it as a blessing, but others from the outside might look at it as a curse and say, okay, well, this old lady is pregnant and he's mute and...
Well, isn't that the way it... I mean, a lot of times when we get blessed, people look at it as a curse. I mean, Pentecost, you know?
With fear, yeah.
Yeah, they're all praying in... All the 120 are praying in the Spirit. They're praying in tongues. They're praising God. And some people thought they were drunk, you know, and people are going to misinterpret. You're absolutely right, especially in this day of fake news and all that.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to misinterpret. So maybe that's why that's part of why she did hide herself. I hadn't thought about that. That's really good. Good observation.
I don't know. Just a theory.
Well, but small town gossip.
Yeah,
I think you're right. Even back then,
it had to.
You know, I'm sure there was.
The smaller, the worse it is.
Right, right, and I'm sure you know news travels fast.
And it would almost be silly. I mean, to look at. I wouldn't believe with my eyes somebody like my grandmother, who's you know in her 80s with a baby bump, you know, at 9 months.
Yeah.
Who photoshopped
that? I'd look at her
like
she was a freak. You
right.
know?
Somebody must have photoshopped that.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's true, and I do think one other reason was she just wanted to get away and be with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she says here, "You've taken away my shame." It's not like, you know, now I'm really ashamed. I'm going to go hide myself. But you've taken away my shame, and I think she just wanted to commune with God, like. In a sense, like God forced Zechariah to do, Elizabeth chose it willingly. She chose to be secluded for 5 months so that she could just, I think, be alone with God and just, you know, rejoice
gratitude.
In what happened. Oh, yeah. I think gratitude. I mean, imagine, God, you answered my prayers. I mean, we all have things that are important to us. We want God to answer. And, you know, here's...
But, you know, sorry, PJ, and this thing is too, could you imagine how different of Christians we would be if we spent that much time with the Lord? I mean, all the time for 5 solid months?
Mm-hmm.
How different our perspectives would be on life?
I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure. It'd be totally different. In fact, I've mentioned it before on the radio show, God has convicted me about not spending enough time with him. I mean, I've never, like, I always read my Bible. That's the one thing I always do. But God convicted me that I don't spend enough time just with him, just talking. And, you know, praise God, I listened. But, and my life has changed. I mean, to quote Joyce Meyer, new level, new devil. I mean, you know, God stripping away some of the stuff and showing me more of what needs to be changed in me, not in other people, even though I wish he would, but in me, because that's where the change has to come, obviously. So, okay, well, this is a good spot to break because the next big division is up next, and we're going to find out. Gabriel makes a second appearance, of course. So I just want to take some time before the top of the hour to let everybody know, again, this is Living the Good Life, the radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We meet now at the Red Roof Inn at 3580 Olmerton Road in Clearwater every Wednesday night. We are there. We gather about six for prayer. We take prayer requests. We pray out of the book, prayers that avail much. And then at 6:30, we have praise and worship. We get into the Word. And so we get into the Word, bring a Bible, bring a notebook, bring your dinner. A couple of our people always bring their dinner. I sometimes do because a lot of us are coming directly from work. So, you know, we meet in a hotel. So just bring your dinner, bring your questions. It's a great time of prayer and praise and fellowship in the Word. So I just want to invite everybody to do that. Also, Beacon of Hope has a second radio show on Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock, right after the 6 o'clock news, called Go Yard, which is a life coaching show. And Pastor Marcia, who is on there, but she goes by her other name, Mama Mac. And then Dr. Angel Falzone is there also. And again, like I said, it's a life coaching show. So, and they get into, you know, practical, very practical topics. So I'd invite everybody to listen to that also. And as you know, this show is broadcast live on tantalk1340.com over the internet. But that is also 1340 AM and now 106.1 FM. Yay! So we're on all over the place now. That's a wonderful thing. Much better coverage. Also, the shows here are taped, and they will, they're on actually WTAN's website, which is tantalk1340.com. So you can go back and listen to them. They'll be up probably next couple of days. And eventually, then they make it to Beacon of Hope's website, which is bohmglobal.com. You can listen. We've got radio shows going back, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years. So definitely take a listen to some of the older radio shows. Plus, on top of all that, we have on Starcom Network, the shows are on Saturday and Sunday. Living the Good Life is on at 10 o'clock. And then Go Yard is on at 12 noon. And those can be heard on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. So that's kind of all the stuff going on. We also have a ministry to Palm Garden Nursing Home once a month, and I go there every month. It's incredible. We minister the Word. We sing with people in the nursing home, and you know, we've seen several of them go on to glory. And that's a wonderful thing to know that we're separated now temporarily, but we're all going to be up there. And I promised all my ladies at the nursing home that I'd be dancing with them in heaven. So I am definitely looking forward to that. One other ministry that we also have, and Shell, I'm going to let you speak to this, the prayer ministry, if you can do this in about a minute.
Oh, okay.
Thanks. Well, you're a member of the prayer team, so.
Yeah. We have a prayer team who are always on standby, and if you need to pray for anything, there's no subject, no issue, too big or small, to send in to Beacon of Hope. Actually, you'll have to give the email address, PJ.
Okay, it's prayers@bohmglobal.com.
And one of us, the prayer warriors, will send out a request, your request. We'll answer it, and you'll have a whole team of us praying behind you.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And the thing I want to ask also is, when God answers your prayer, if you could just let us know, because I do keep record of all those.
Praise reports.
Yeah, yes. Our little praise reports.
Good news and bad news.
Yeah.
We want to hear about.
Yeah, well, we're going to, because we like to pray to turn the bad news into good news. So.
Correct.
Okay, we're going to go to station ID. We'll be right back.